and welcome to the Feeder Series podcast. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and today I'm delighted to say we have a new face on the show, a driver who began appearing on more people's radar in 2023 thanks to a stellar GB3 campaign. After taking a few podiums in 2022, he took the championship in a season-long fight against Alex Dunn and Joseph Loat last year, earning a spot as a finalist for the prestigious BRDC Young Driver of the Year Award. Our driver in focus today is 2024 Rodin F3 driver, Callum Voisin. Welcome to the show, Callum. How are you? And where in the world are you at the moment? Because we're recording before the season started, but I know drivers fly around a little bit.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm in Bath at the moment, which is where I'm based when I'm not racing, and that's where I go to school. So yeah, I'm in Bath at the moment. Just came back from Bahrain a few days ago for the pre-season test.
Yeah, so we're really at the end of winter at the moment, I suppose, as we record. And I suppose for you that means, well, school for one thing, as we were talking about before we started, but preparation time for the upcoming season. But this year must be feeling very different from previous years with the huge news that you're on the F1 support billing.
Yeah, quite different. Obviously, you know, F3 is the, you know, what, the third tier on you know, the motorsport ladder, as you said, on the F1 weekend. So it's just, you know, manic, very popular series with a big following, different car, completely different to what I'm used to. So yeah, there's 101 different things which are different, but you know, it's all part of it.
101 things that are different.
It's probably
in
more.
Terms of your I bet that car looks lightning compared to everything else, and DRS and all the other things, and you've been learning all that. I want to talk about that slightly in a little bit, but how much have you noticed that attention difference? I don't know, it's all, as we're recording, it's going to come sooner when people see you racing and being in the top 10 on the F3 TV coverage, which you can get internationally. But have you noticed that since the announcement of your step up and since your championship win, since the Autosport Award nominations, all this sort of stuff? Have you noticed a big step up in people knowing who you are?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, it comes naturally. It's what you want, in fairness. Yeah, I've seen it pretty much double, I'd say, since, you know, over the winter or so. So yeah, no, it's been pretty good, but yeah, it's all part of it, I guess. I'm not famous.
Do you enjoy it? Be honest. No, you're not famous yet, though. Not yet. But do you enjoy that level of prestige?
I mean, I think when you're very young and starting out, you're kind of like, oh, I really want to be, you know, famous or whatever, or, you know, well known and stuff like that. But to be honest, as soon as you kind of get to this level, it's like you're just here to race. You're not really here to be some superstar or whatever, you know, as long as I'm beating everybody else, that's all I care about. So yeah.
I said like a true racer. And let's go on to the, not necessarily an elephant in the room, because it's not Carlin, it's Rodin now, but for all intents and purposes, it's the same operation, it's the same people you're interacting with day to day, it's just a different name. And you've made that step up from Carlin / Rodin the last few years, and now you're going into F3 with that. That's consistency, which generally people say is consistency wins seasons and championships. Is that a consideration for you making that step up? Was it always a plan to continue with this ex-Carlin, now Rodin route?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I always wanted to stay with them. I think it's good to, I think it's underestimated how important it is to, you know, build a relationship with the team and whatever. But you know, from my side, it was the goal to stay on with them, but obviously there were many other implications in the way at first, which, you know, made it perhaps slightly more difficult. But you know, once I got the opportunity to drive for them again, then yeah, took it with both hands.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how all that goes. You could be, well, I find it quite interesting in F3 because it's a deep grid. Have you raced against so many drivers on a single race weekend, 30 drivers before? Or is this going to be the first time?
Not since karting. 30 cars on a grid is a lot.
Yeah. So I'm really curious. It's weather can make a big difference. The team can make a big difference. This sort of driver can make a big difference. We saw what Zach O'Sullivan could do a couple of years ago with Carlin, that with Silverstone round in particular. Like, there's so much that can vary. Are you expecting a competition, a fierce competition that you've not never had before?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the best of the best of the best. You know, everybody in their various kind of regional championships, you know, they've got people from second year F3, Freca, GB3. So it's kind of the best of everybody in those championships come to F3. So, yeah, you know, it obviously is going to be tough. But, you know, if you want to make it, you've got to beat them. So, yeah.
And then last question for me at the moment, because we've got a lot of questions from the audience, but I need to give you the opportunity, I would say, to big up what you achieved last year, because F3 is the support billing, but GB3 is the primary route for British drivers right now. That's somewhat equivalent to Freca and other regional championships that you mentioned. You had a long championship fight, yeah. And it was quite extensive, and you had very good competition, and you're the one who reigned supreme at the end. Do you want to talk us through your 2023?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough season. You know, there was a long season. It was, you know, three very good drivers I was up against, you know, all season long, and, you know, brought the fight to me all the time. But, you know, I think winning GB3 in the last round of the last race was really, you know, definitely the best moment of my career. You know, it was an amazing achievement. We worked so hard over the kind of 2 years for us, because I completely skipped F4. So, you know, for me to achieve my first single-seater championship with Rodin was amazing. And the way we did it was, yeah, again, amazing. You know, it was difficult, as I said. Not many wins, not as many as I wanted. But you know, we kept it clean, kept it consistent, and in the end, we got it done.
Do you think that's something that you've learned earlier than some drivers? Because we've seen in F2 and F3 recently, some drivers who don't get 20 wins, they just get a handful. I think both our champions last year had that, but they still took the championship by just settling, so to speak, for P2, the thinking of the long game. Is that something you'll be thinking for the future?
Definitely in the future. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it is a better way of doing it. I think, especially in these, you know, FIA categories, I think consistency is extremely important. I think, you know, it goes sometimes, you know, under the radar how important it is to keep consistent and always kind of delivering the results. Especially, you know, it's such fierce competition. I think if you can always be there, then you're bound to have a good campaign. So yeah, no, I'll definitely bring what I learned in GB3 onto F3 for sure.
Oh, wishing you all the best for it. It's going to be fascinating to see how you and, like you say, so many other talented drivers from the regional and second year F3 and even F4 drivers are going to make it. It's such a crazy, crazy grid. And I'm envious in a way that you're racing it, but also I'm not envious because that's a lot of drivers to try and avoid. I'm more than happy to watch from the sideline. So best of luck for you. But I'm going to stop doing my idle chit-chat. And as long-time viewers and listeners know, the Feeder Series podcast isn't for me. It's for our audience. We're going to turn to the audience questions. Just before we get there, we had plenty of amazing guests on the show in the past, such as Callum, and we've got plenty more to come. And if you like what we do, make sure you subscribe on YouTube or your podcast player of choice. Drop us a like and leave your thoughts on the show and any other guests you'd like to see in the comments. And for those of you already following us, thank you so much. We've had over 250,000 listens and views, and we genuinely appreciate all of your support as we do move forwards. So let's go and move forwards into the audience questions. I've got some quick fire questions now, and I think this first one by Clara, hopefully I've already answered this, but they want to know, Clara, via Discord, how do you pronounce your last name?
So it's, well, in fairness, there's a few ways you can say it, but kind of in the UK, everybody just says Voisin or Voisin. Either way is fine. Obviously there's the French way of saying it, but yeah, Voisin or Voisin is fine.
But the follow-up from my side is from when we messaged, then I noticed the Swiss side of things, which is also on your Wikipedia as a proper journalist, a bit of research. So What's a Swiss connection, just for everybody to understand?
So I live in Geneva. Well, my parents live in Geneva. I'm based in Geneva. Sorry, not based. I live in Geneva. I was born there, raised there, went to school there up until I was 11 years old, roughly. So, you know, I'm not Swiss, but I have, you know, lived most of my life there. But my parents are British and stuff like that. I'm very much British. I don't have a Swiss passport, so I don't know. I'm in the middle, really. I'm not really either side.
Does that mean that if you weren't racing right now, you'd be a skier or a snowboarder or something? Because
funny enough, I did do a lot of skiing. When would that have been? 2014 till 2016, roughly. And then I had to kind of give it up because the racing obviously started, and then I preferred racing cars or karts at the time. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad you've done that route, because I don't know much about skiing or snowboarding, having never done either. And it's a lot more fun on four wheels, I think. But I'm already getting off topic with the quick fire questions. There's another question here from, oh God, the pronunciation's going to get me. You'd probably be good at this with the French side of things. Les voitures ont la parole via Discord. Ayrton or Michael, they want to know. I mean, I presume it's Senna or Schumacher, but who knows? It could be anything.
Yeah. What, Michael Andretti?
Exactly.
That's a good question. I don't really know, because I didn't watch either. You know, I wasn't born or whatever back when they were racing and stuff. Well, not really. Schumacher was racing, but not in his heyday or whatever. I would say probably Schumacher. You know, he's won much more. He's, you know, at the time had all the records pretty much, you know, in existence. I don't think, you know, I mean, I'm not doubting Senna's ability, obviously, but I think, you know, Schumacher's dominance and whatever is unmatched to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I firmly agree. It's always difficult, especially on different eras, to try and...
Exactly. I think, you know, it's hard to tell, really. I honestly don't know. It's a tough bit.
Well, I mean, I heard Schumacher, so I mean, that's going to go down for forever now. That's a fact.
We'll go.
Voice in hate Senna. That'll be the actual headline that's coming out of this.
There you go.
A more important question, though, is from Coldplay McPinfan, also via Discord. What is your go-to thing at Greg's?
I kid you not, I don't think I've been to Greg's since in 2 years or something. I don't think. Greg's, I don't know.
I'm just going to wind it back a little bit. In fact, I'll let you explain this. Not everybody is going to be British listening to this. We have a fully international audience. Could you explain in your own words on what Greg's is? Because it's a bit of a national icon.
Oh, I'm probably not the person to ask. It's like a bakery type thing. It's got,
you know, exactly
that bakery. Yeah. You get basically where I guess most people go in the morning to grab their sausage back or coffee or sausage roll is quite a popular one. They do all sorts of stuff. I don't know, I wouldn't call it a coffee shop, but yeah, something like that.
But you don't have a go-to thing though?
Go-to thing. You know what, when I used to go, they used to make these like bacon baguettes. I don't know if you've seen them before. I don't know if they still make them, to be honest, but
I know what you mean though. Yeah.
They were really good. I remember them. They were really, really good. I did like them. So probably that. I haven't been in ages, but yeah, that I'd say. Not the best
the
answer.
French connection continues.
Yeah, exactly. I just like the baguette. That's all. I used to pick out the bacon and just eat the baguette.
I will also say the Britishness, I suppose, a bap, a sausage bap or a bacon bap, whatever you said. A bap is still a roll, what we people would call a roll,
like
generally.
But bacon roll, roll, whatever.
It's a funny one because it varies depending on whereabouts in the country. I also say cob or bap or roll and whatnot. But yes, Greg's is a bakery for anybody wondering. It's a bit of a British icon that's all across the country now. A very affordable bakery that does decent coffees, cakes, and all sorts of other goods. And Coldplay McPinfan, brilliant question. I'll have more of that. Thank you very much. And another one to go away from your Frenchness, but just Ijzeraiden. Yeah, let's go with that. Via Instagram. What is your favourite kind of tea?
God, I'm not the I don't have that much tea, to be honest, so give me English breakfast tea, that'll be alright. I'll be fine with that.
Oh, okay.
Not the best answer again. Sorry guys.
This is fine, but you have to have an opinion on the next one with the sure. Especially with having the Geneva one. Checo via Discord. Favorite type of cheese?
Oh, easy. Well, actually, this is a tough one.
this is the most thought you put into it.
Yeah, 100%. Right. I like camembert. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I think blue cheese. Have you ever tried blue cheese sauce on a steak?
Yes, of course.
That stuff is mega. And then,
but are you saying you'd only have blue cheese when it's a sauce on a steak? Is that what your point
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I wouldn't have it kind of on, I don't know, crackers or something. I don't think.
But would you have blue cheese at all aside from on steak?
No, never really.
Oh, that is controversial.
I mean, It's decent, but not as good as camembert or. What else is good? Boursin. It's like not like a normal cheese, but I don't know if people have heard of boursin. It's like the stuff where you spread on your, I don't know, bread. Like a herby cheese.
Or your baguette.
Or your baguette
when you have your bacon baguette.
I'd say overall camembert, because when I was younger, I used to have that stuff all the time. So yeah, camembert for me.
But, yeah. So after all of the teas and the Greg's questions,
I know this one, the real cheese one. Ask me that one. I know that.
You'll be getting all sorts of camembert gifts or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And probably.
Then there are two more which I've got here, and I don't know if there's a backstory, so maybe you can tell me. But one is from Sam But Jody via Discord. The usernames always intrigue me. What's your favourite sauce for a stir fry? Is it hoisin? Is there a backstory to this, or is this just a?
Well, not really, but hoisin. You know, it rhymes. It's fairly similar.
That makes more sense.
So that's,
that went really over my head. I'm very embarrassed right now.
I know some people refer me to Callum Hoisin or something like that. So. do I like hoisin sauce? Yeah, it's decent. Yeah, I like it. I don't know, is it my favorite? To be honest, I don't really know what sauces are on a stir fry. I just eat it, so there you go.
That's good. I'm feeling rather sheepish for not picking up the hoisin voice in there. that's very, very good. And then Evgeny Ravensky or Ravensky1 via Twitter. I'm not a football fan, so maybe you'll know more about this than I. But Leverkusen or Munich, who will be champion? Is this? Are you a big German football fan?
I honestly don't follow any football, let alone German football. So sorry about that. It sounds bad. I haven't heard of these guys. So I gotta follow up. I gotta follow up on that because I honestly don't have a clue. So. What were the two names again?
It was Leverkusen or Munich, Bayern Munich, I assume. Very limited.
We'll go for Munich.
Knowledge.
I'll support Munich. I don't know why, but we'll support Munich.
You heard it here first, everybody. The football knowledge that is Callum Voisin has spoken, and Bayern Munich will be the champion.
Exactly.
No one can argue with it. I think you'd be the best qualified people for this, not watching football, especially German football. So, yeah, I think we've put that one to bed.
Exactly.
We've got more detailed questions now. You might be relieved after this grilling. But this one's from EvieGrace_11 via Instagram. And I'm interested in this. How old were you when you started in motorsport, they want to know? And also, the follow-up from my end is, can you just talk for your journey a little bit as people are going to see you potentially for the first time as they watch Formula 3 this year?
Yeah, sure. So I started relatively late. I started in France, actually, because motorsport's banned in Switzerland, so I couldn't do it there. I got my
Hmm.
first ever go-kart at 10 years old, in 20,
Wow.
what was it, end of 2016. And I did a few races in France in 2016 and 2017. And then when I came to the UK for school and stuff, I moved over my racing at the same time and raced in the British, basically the British Championships and a few kind of European stuff up until 2020 was my last season. And then well, I finished third in the British Championships in 2020. So, I was, decent karting background, but nothing too, oh, I don't know. I reconnected there. Anyway, nothing too crazy. And then in 2021, I moved up to Ginetta Juniors with R Racing. My brother had raced in Ginetta Juniors the year prior to that, so it was kind of an easy or easier kind of step in for me because I already kind of knew what was, what I was getting into. Had a good first year in that with the most wins in a seat or most wins of the year and stuff. So then this is where it gets a bit more interesting. I had a test with Carl in an F4 car actually at Pembrey, and that went surprisingly very well because I had no clue. I didn't never touched a single seater. I'd never even thought of it. I didn't do any prep or anything like that. I just kind of went straight in, and yeah, it went really good. So then about 2 weeks after that, I won all three races at Brands Hatch in Ginetta Juniors, and then about a week after that, I got asked if I wanted to try the GB3 because of what happened, and that surprisingly went even better. So yeah, then it was kind of all trying to connect the dots to do a year in GB3. Managed to do that in 2022. Had a really good year. It was my rookie year, first ever year in single seater, so I was very much kind of on the back foot. I didn't have any clue of what to expect. I was very much, the guinea pig, but went straight in with a good team, so that was very helpful. And what I think we got six podiums or something, most of our pole positions and three wins. So yeah, it was a good season. And then and finished fourth in the championship. Forgot to add. And then last year
That
we
important though, yeah.
oh yeah. And then last year we went back and won the championship. So yeah, won the whole thing, my first ever single seater championship. So there you go. That's my career up to date, and now I'm racing in F3.
I love that. It's like having the biography of you, and you're so young still, so it's all so condensed. But starting karting at 10 and making it to F3, I mean that's a feather in the cap, because I guess by the time you're doing the karting, when you say you had the middling results, by it sounds like you are against people who've been doing it for 5 years, even though they are the same age as you. So it's a really good.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I think in karting, when you're super young, you're kind of just, I don't know, you're just rolling around, you're just having fun. I think, well, I don't know, I don't feel like I've ever missed out on anything realistically, because to me, when you're, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, you're still just kind of, messing about and whatever. You're still running around in the paddock and just messing around with your friends. So, in terms of actual racing years, I don't really feel like I missed out that much, which is good. But yeah, I'd say 10 is probably like on the later end for sure. Most people, had already been, as you said, in a car for 3 or 4 years. But yeah, so be it.
Well, it's really hurt you, becoming a
I
GB3
know, it's
champion and now on the
terrible.
F3 grid. I bet you really wish you had those extra few years.
I dwell on it every night.
Why didn't I get a kart when I was 2 years old? The next question I'm really interested in, because it's quite, again, it's not meant to be a British culture podcast, but Anendo Fonseca via Discord. This is not necessarily a British thing, but it seems to be a staple of the ladder in the UK. How did the Ginetta Juniors help you develop as a driver?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. It's honestly, it's a really good championship, just in terms of the car, that how much you learn. It's very underpowered. It's got, near to any. It's got basically no grip. It's on road tires, so again, no grip. The wheel-to-wheel action is, I think, unmatched in any other series. I think, that whole year I probably learned the most in terms of car control, racecraft altogether. It was probably, the best few years, or sorry, best year in terms of learning. So no, from my side, it was a good year. It didn't quite end the way we wanted, but in terms of learning and what I took on and developed over the years is, the foundation is definitely from Ginetto Juniors. So, from that sense, it's good. And also for the fans, I think it's probably the most entertaining races because there's always a crash or whatever. But yeah.
I'm just looking through the 2021 championship, and well, you went in and you won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the opening 7 rounds. Is that right? Six, something like that. The
Was it something
first
like that?
3 rounds you won. Yeah, I've got here. You fifth place at Fruxton to start with, then first place at Snetterton, then disqualified. Do you want to tell me more about that if you remember? Disqualified, oh, for technical infringement. Then 10th, and then you won the triple at Brands Hatch, like you said. That's a solid way to start your racing career in cars. So yeah, it's not so bad, mate. Not so bad at all.
Yeah.
It's something I'm it's always great to watch when I'm like at Donington and it's on as a sports series, but yeah, I might have even seen you that year actually. I can't remember where I was. Just
Yeah,
COVID year, I
possibly.
suppose, so probably not. Funny stuff. This one, I think you kind of touched, but I want to ask it anyway. WWE Master 2018. I don't know what 2018 was so good, but they want to know via Twitter, how was winning the GB3 championship?
Best moment of my life. Yeah, as I said, worked very hard to get it done. Spent 2 years with the team. My first ever single seat, well, first ever championship, really full stop. I think everything, got into place. It's the For me, it really kick started everything in terms of, my name recognition, whatever. And yeah, it's probably the reason why I'm in F3 this year. So no, it's yeah, the foundation of, I guess, the start of my, not start of my career, but the start of my, I guess, single
The next
seater.
stage in your
Exactly, the
career.
next stage. That's a better way of putting it. So no,
Or
it was
your
amazing.
internet, yeah. So it's a the foundation of your international career, I think it's fair to say, because you're going to
Precisely,
have a
precisely.
global audience. And then Vicky, I've had this last time as well. Sorry, Vicky. Vicky Velicky, I think it is, via Twitter. How's it feel to drive an F3 car? And I know you've only had limited experience so far compared to the GB3 cars. I guess my question as well is on the DRS side, do you really feel it? How's it been on that change for you?
Yeah, definitely. It is very different for sure. Much heavier. The tires are completely different. They are both Pirelli tires, but the F3 tires are so much softer. They are so heat sensitive, very, very different. They only work for one lap, really. So there is a lot to think about. I think, especially going from, let's say, quali setup to race setup in GB3, there was basically no difference. But in this, the car can, pace wise can change to up to, I don't know, 5, 6 seconds per lap. So it is a big difference for sure. But no, I mean, it's all part of it. You've got some very cool gizmos which come with the F3, such as, the throttle dial. You've got a hand clutch instead of a foot clutch, DRS as you mentioned. So it is the next step for sure. And it's I don't know, it's a bit more like a mini F1 car if you'd like. So yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. And then I hear a lot of people mentioning the tires because they are the only bits of the car that touch the ground. And you're t saying there the softness and the fact that they give you the optimum performance for that single lap. Is that affecting from your testing time thus far? Is that affecting how you're having to drive? Are you having to be a little bit more gentle or?
Yeah, I think it is a bit of an art form. I think on qualifying laps, it doesn't change anything really because you're trying to extract the most out of the tire. But as soon as you get to race runs, you do have to be careful. You know, I think naturally in a race for the first couple of laps, you're always kind of pushing flat out. But as soon as the, you know, I guess what the race settles itself and everybody gets into a bit more of a rhythm, it is, you know, keeping your tires in check and not sliding about too much. It's very common you see that somebody, let's say towards the end of the race, you know, falls off, and that's purely because they haven't taken care of their tires as well as everybody else. So it does have a big consequence. You know, the smallest of, I guess, mistakes can have a huge make a huge difference in the race. So yeah, no, it is difficult, but it's all part of the learning, I guess.
Yeah, it's why rookie seasons exist as well, I suppose. I got
Yeah.
this one from studying, just simple as that, studying via Discord. Does your brother Bailey give you any racing advice?
Yeah, a lot in 2021, because obviously he just finished off his Ginesse Junior season. Now I don't know, we're in completely different campaigns, but for sure, you know, if there's anything that I'm not quite sure about or whatever, and I think he would be helpful, then yeah, for sure. Especially if, you never know, in the future, if I try out some singles, not some GTs or some prototypes, I'll definitely go to him, because he's pretty good at that.
Yes, he's doing GT4 from what I'm seeing, Bailey, right? That's well, that's what we did in GT World Challenge one race last year. So
Yeah.
very different routes, but racing's very much in the family, it sounds like.
Funnily enough, it really isn't in the family. Me and him are basically the first, what would you call it, first generation racers. It never really, you know, my parents are really not involved in it, so it has been a first timer for us. I'd say for me, it's been a bit easier, just because my brother was the one kind of paving the way for me. So throughout karting, throughout Ginesse Juniors especially, I was, you know, I kind of already had a plan, because my brother did it, you know, 1 or 2 years before me. So yeah, I probably had it a bit easier than him, but yeah, there you go.
He'd done all the learning for you and can just pass that on in those
Precisely,
first few years.
precisely.
Yeah, it's the paddock is a very different world from what a lot of people see on television, so there's just even navigating yourself around it. This one, I promise you, isn't from Alex Dunn. It's from Ollie Weir underscore KA underscore via Instagram. Unless it's an alias, I don't know. But what do you think about Alex Dunn was the question. I mean, the two of you had a cracking championship fight last year.
Yeah, I mean, I get on well, you know, pretty well with Alex. No, he's a good guy, obviously a very fast driver. I think a lot of people expected him to, I guess, dominate GB3 last year, just because of how dominant his F4 season was. But you know, it was, you know, I guess I was pretty happy with how, you know, he didn't just walk away with it, obviously. So no, I mean, you know, I respect him completely. I think, you know, we have a good relationship and whatever. Obviously, it's nice to see him on the F3 grid as well this year. So yeah, no, he's a good guy for sure.
Do you think a follow-up question they didn't ask, but do you think seeing the drivers who have made that step up from GB3 to F3 this year is really showing the quality? And we're talking, you know, you're following the footsteps of Luke, following the footsteps of Zach, but is it really showing the quality of the grid that GB3 is starting to attract such good talents now?
For sure. I think, you know, the GB3 championship as a whole is just an amazing package for everybody who, you know, as a, you know, as an alternative to Freca or EFO or something like that. You know, the car is brilliant to drive. It's very light and nimble compared to, you know, some of the alternatives. It's actually faster in Venice to Freca, definitely. So, you know, it goes to good tracks this year. It's definitely more trying to pave its way onto the European scene as well as the UK stuff. So, you know, from my side, it's, yeah, no, I think it's a brilliant championship, and for sure the grid has gotten much, much stronger over the last 2 or 3 years. I think, you know, now it just proves, you know, we've got some of the best drivers on the grid. So yeah.
And some of the best tracks, I would argue. And it very good segue by me. Well done, Jim. I'll just congratulate myself. Charlotte TF1, which tracks haven't you driven on that you're most looking forward to driving? Because this is via Twitter, because you have driven some of the Britain's best tracks, but now you're going on to the F1 support billing. So there are some cracking, I mean, the F3, I honestly think the F3 calendar is one of the best ones out there, and you must be excited for a lot of them, but are there any in particular that stand out for you?
I think for me, it's Monaco, for sure. I think there's, well, I mean, do I need to say anything else? It's the glitz and glamour. It's a street track for once, which I've never done, so that'll be interesting. But yeah, no, I think, you know, I actually lived in Monaco my early years, and when I was very young, and watched the Grand Prix and stuff like that. So no, for me, it's definitely Monaco.
That must be just so exciting to think you've seen that live from where you were living, and now you'll be racing on that same track.
Precisely.
It's mad. I mean, I presume as a fan of motorsport and being in Monaco, I've never been, but you must have walked the track at least or done some sort of tour as a kid.
I'll be honest, I was really young. So I was like 3-4 years old. So I don't remember much, but I definitely remember watching it. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, well, I remember, you know, being driven in some of the, you know, especially through the hairpin and the one after, I forgot the name of it, and going through the tunnel, obviously. You know, you do that countless times. So No, I've definitely done it a few times. So I guess I've already driven the track. Well, not driven it, been driven in it. But yeah. No, it'll be very special to do it for the first time.
And you, of course, have done Silverstone, and you've done Spa, I remember, as well. So are you thinking there'll be some advantages of having those ones down? Are you thinking when I get to these tracks, I know I'm hopeful for a better result?
Definitely, you know, I think Silverstone for sure. I've driven there many times before. Obviously, GB3, it's the main track to go to. Spa I've done as well, raced there twice in a row, or the last two years. I've driven Barcelona as well for testing. I haven't raced there. And then I think there's another. Oh, well, Bahrain now I've driven. Imola. I've driven Imola as well. So I've driven a few, not driven all of them, but I think, you know, it'll be fine. I'm a quick learner, so it'll be good.
Have you done, not obviously driven it, but have you been to Australia before? That's still, for me, quite a big deal that Formula 3 is on the Australia.
Oh, it's huge,
weekend.
It's huge. Absolutely, absolutely. No, I've never been to Australia, so I'm going there, you know, slightly early to you know, get a feel for it. Obviously time zones are pretty much opposite, so it'll be really good. I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm not sure about the flight, that'll be a bit long, but other than that, it'll be good.
Well, like you say, you get there early and it'll make a big difference, because the flight to that side of the world is crazy, which is why it's so amazing that F3 is going there. But last year was so entertaining to watch the F3 cars there. So,
yeah, it was, yeah. I remember watching it, so.
And that wet qualifying, that was something. One of the highlights of last year, I thought. This one is from Stay Hydrated HLC via Twitter. And let's take off the PR academy and driver and all this sort of stuff come in. But which Formula One team is your dream to drive for? Hamilton, you know, had the McLaren backing, but now he's going to Ferrari. So there's still that dream there. I don't know if that was his dream 12 months ago, maybe when... saw how Mercedes were last year, might have changed the dream. But is there a dream for you to think, oh, I'd love to race for that team?
It's difficult. I think for me, I think Ferrari would be amazing. You know, it's the, what would you call it? It's the it is the most historic F1 team, fairly sure. Most successful
by far,
so yeah. Most historic, most successful. The Ferrari red is iconic. I think, you know, a similar thing to what, you know, most drivers that drive for Ferrari, you know, say and whatever. So for me, that would be amazing, but obviously I'm open for anything. But in fairness, I used to I'm a relatively big kind of McLaren guy. I quite like the McLarens. And I used to support Williams a huge amount back in the, like, you know, when they had the martini kind of livery and stuff.
Oh,
like that,
such a good, it's yeah. What I race in iRacing, it's not the Williams on necessary, but the martini livery was iconic.
Yeah,
and they were getting the podiums on the regular.
Exactly. So, I mean, I still support them for sure, but doing the Martini one, yeah, that was cool. So there's a few teams, but I'd say if there's one, I mean, I think most people would say Ferrari, probably 90% of the grid.
Yeah, I can see why the history speaks for itself. But nice for you to shout up the old school McLaren Williams. Well, they have been around for a very long time as well. And I shouldn't ask because I know the questions are for people, but livery launch is that's just happened for us. So we still have the Minecraft green steak livery and the carbon fiber of the Alpines and half the grid and all this sort of stuff. Is there any of the liveries that particularly took your eye that you like from the 2024 lineup?
There's a few actually. I think I've seen so many mixed reviews on the Mercedes one. Personally,
The half and half.
I think it looks mega. I think it's the best, probably the best livery on the grid, if not one of, definitely. I don't know why. I don't know. For me, I just like it. It's just, to me, it sits really well. I know some people hate it, but I like it.
I saw the pictures come out just from the side angle to start. This is like an admittance of just how quick I glanced through it. I was like, it's the same as last year. And then I saw like 7 hours later, because I was in the middle of something else, the front on one. I was like, oh, it's silver again. It really surprised me just how different the car can look from two angles.
No, I think it looks really good personally, especially the head-on shot looks really good. The Ferrari looks, mega as always. It's pretty hard for them to get it wrong, I think. Whilst it's very controversial and
Ooh.
many people hate it, but the I think the Alpine livery actually looks really good. I know people hate it, and but I when I first saw it, I really liked it.
I think, to be fair, it's difficult for it to look bad because it just kind of looks how it's looked recently with a bit more carbon fiber. I get that. I think it's anybody who says they hate it, that's just a very extreme reaction for
I
what
think,
is a quite
yeah,
inoffensive livery.
the people that hate it is just because it's carbon, I think if it was black, people would say, oh, it's quite a cool livery, but I like it. What can I say? I think it looks good. So,
And the Alpine Academy come calling homewards
There you
in
go.
to have enjoyed. I mean, we
Plugging
see the
it
ulterior motive.
in. I can't think of any other. What are the other ones?
We got the McLaren looks kind of the same, a bit more black. The Williams looks kind of
McLaren's
the
cool.
same with the
Williams
green
is
stripe
cool.
on
They've
it.
had a similar one for the last few years, haven't they?
The steak one is
That's
green,
interesting.
very green. I want to see what that looks like under the sun, not just in dark. Ferrari's got a bit
Yeah,
more yellow. It's
I like the
all
Ferrari. The Red Bull's Red Bull. Has
Haas is Haas, yeah. It's
has. So, yeah, there you
but then
go.
in fact the unknown team, the RB, that's the biggest
Oh,
difference we've got.
I actually completely forgot about them. That looks nice. That looks nice. I like
And the Red Bull Junior team, hang up the phone.
it. Well, no, it's because it's such a different name. I keep forgetting it's Visa Cash App RB something else. Whatever.
The V Carbo one, that's what I
V
know the
Carbon,
car
there you
is.
go. So,
Yeah, the
no,
RBs.
I forgot about that. That's a cool livery. I like it. It's different.
No, I think it harkens back somewhat to their origins, and then some. I think it reminds me of the mid-90s or the early 90s Williams as well. But it's I'm looking forward to seeing all of them on track just to see how it looks, because I always think you can look at the pictures, and then when they're on track, they look completely different. So very excited to see how it all goes.
Yeah,
Got this
when's
one from
testing? I forgot. Is it
testing's
next
next
week?
week
Yeah, next
as
week.
we record, but I mean testing's
Oh, of
weeks
course.
ago. Yeah, so oh, testing was good. I can't
Yeah,
believe
testing was
that
mega.
the I can't believe Haas are the fastest
Red
team.
Bull looks so good.
This one is from Matt or M4T TO T300 via Twitter. What is your goal for the season and how are you preparing for that? And do not give me the usual, oh, I just want to do my best. I want to win a race. Give me a goal. Give me a goal.
All right, fine. Top 10, I think.
Nice.
Obviously it's no easy thing. We're entering my rookie year. The team has struggled in the past for sure. But I'm confident that what we've got at the moment, coming back from testing, I think we didn't show completely what we've got. I think we by the end of day three we had it, on a fairly good window. So I honestly don't think it's too bad. I think we're gonna make, some good strides this year. First couple of rounds obviously are gonna be tricky. You're new to it. It's not just the racing, it's the whole F1 paddock, how it works, a lot of waiting around and stuff like that. So look, obviously, as I said, it's not gonna be easy, but it's not impossible. I think I'm a firm believer that the driver can make a difference. And yeah, let's go out and do some stuff.
I love that, mate. I love that. I think it's the sort of thing in realistic, and I'm saying this as a neutral on it, Roden or Collins, it was aiming for in F3 for top 10. That would be huge. That's like a championship in itself. But
Yeah.
I love that you're putting that line as this is where I think I can achieve. And
I think
after
so.
seeing what the Jenses did last year, why the hell not?
Exactly. I think, as I said, not gonna be easy, but I think top 10, few podiums. If I can sneak a win in, that'd be great. I need to keep my win streak going. I've won a race every year since basically since I started, so I can't stop that. I've gotta
Well,
keep that
if you
going.
stop, like Lewis Hamilton stops, you get a Ferrari driver at the end of it, so no
Okay,
problems.
well, maybe it'll be all right, but but
This is a final question you'll probably be glad to hear. But this one, I'm going to show the image on screen, but I suspect you may already know what image it is. This is from Tom Evans Media via Twitter. And this is based off of, I guess, the media day in Bahrain. But what did you say that caused this image? And you probably know which one it is. I'm going to just
I can't see it.
share. No, not yet. You
All
can't,
right, okay.
but you might already know this image.
Oh, yeah. To us, a bit boring. I didn't do anything. We were walking. And kind of like when you start just a teeny giggle, and then it's kind of like, it's almost like when you're not supposed to giggle and everybody starts giggling and that type of stuff. So that's, I was like the only one that was semi all right, and I was like, well, why are you guys laughing for no reason? So yeah, I do know. I do remember that. That was quite funny, especially it's kind of like walking down the pits, making sure everybody's neat and tidy and not laughing, and then yeah, everybody just starts, yeah.
It looks like, I don't know, that you had either farted, was my first
Wish,
guess. It looks
yeah,
like
I
you.
wish I could say I just made like the most outrageous joke or something, but no.
No. Or it's like a superhero when he starts walking slowly or something and you're taking it too seriously. They're cracked up. But it's,
Exactly.
I really like it. It just seems to show the camaraderie in the Rodin team. So
Yeah, I've got some cool
cracking lineup.
teammates. I've got some cool teammates. So, yeah.
You really, really do. You really do. So I wish you all the best with the season and have fun with your teammates. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. That's all the time we have with Callum Voisin. Thank you for everybody for watching and listening. If you are watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment, and subscribing to the channel all really helps us out. And if you're listening, like I said, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're listening on is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out feederseries.net for more feeder series insight and follow feeder underscore series and FS Americas on X or Twitter or whatever it's called today, and feederseriesnet on Instagram. You can find the links to all of those, plus where to find everyone in this episode, myself and Callum, in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, we have been the Feeder Series Podcast. Goodbye.